For me, at that time, I think I was 19 or something. I was like, oh my God, my first song, and it's already leaked. The bad version is leaked. Now this song is coming out on something called YouTube. We don't even have a CD to give my family and my friends. I like that little loneliness because I'll be a little crazy when I'm composing. I'll be singing.
Like what?
Like I'll be singing a lot of gibberish lines. Whatever comes to my head, I'll just try to put it into the system. Welcome to our bag, man. So this is a humble abode.
It is amazing.
Thank you.
Please tell me more. Tell me about this amazing piano here.
Oh, this is a gift.
From who?
From a very close friend. With all the films that we worked on till then inscribed on it, like a piano. It's like an installation to keep in the studio.
It's fab, and I love that it says an Anirudh music.
Yes, ma'am. So this is where all the music is made of all the films. That's about it.
Wow.
Just these few equipment that we have here. So this place, as I told you, was a garage. Only till here, it was like a garage in a terrace where our band used to, you know, jam and stuff like that. Used to get a lot of complaints from the neighbors because of the drums and all that stuff. Then so sentimentally, we converted this whole terrace into our studio. We extended this first into this and then that. Also, ma'am, if you see, there will not be a separate room for you to sing, you know, if you've been to a...
Right, of course.
The studios.
Yeah. How come?
Because when I started making music back in my room and my bedroom, all we used to do was, you know, I used to keep the artist here, like the guitarist here, and I used to play here. So the vibe or the jam, the feel of the session used to be a little better. So when I made this space, I wanted to do away with that conventional, you know, the person goes to another room, another booth, and you see them through a glass.
And there's that distance there.
Yeah. So I wanted to make it more like a jam vibe. So even now, whoever I record, if I'm recording here, they'll be singing right here.
Wow.
That's about it. So you still have that, you know, old school bedroom recording vibe.
And have you ever counted?
No, ma'am. Ma'am, it's been 10 years. So this is one, there's more in other places in the second floor and stuff like that.
I love it.
So this was just created initially when we made the studio. When we made this place, we created this, then it got filled, luckily.
How lovely. And how often do you sit and play?
I sit and play this a lot, ma'am. In fact, whenever I kind of present a tune to the composer, this was gifted to me by Vijay sir, actually. This
oh, piano. Really?
Yeah. For when our first, it was my fourth film. Film was called Kathi in Tamil.
Yeah.
So when the album of that did well, he gifted me this piano. So I've kept this here as a memoir. And whenever I present any tune to the director, I always present it with the piano first, where I, without any backing or instrumentation, I just play the melody and show them. If they like the melody, then I'll show them the main song. So that's
nice. Nice. Can you play?
I can, ma'am.
Yeah?
Yeah, come. Play something from Jawan only.
Oh,
kometa chaleya teri aur tera chaleya hai zor tera ho ya main har mein bole ya sansar mein chaleya teri aur tera chaleya hai zor tera ho ya main har mein bole ya sansar mein
Anirudh, it's so lovely to have you on Film Companion.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you for inviting us into this amazing studio of yours. It's just so beautiful, and that wall with awards is spectacular.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Now, of course, congratulations on the blockbuster success of Jawan.
Thank you.
But here's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
All right. So in August, you have Jailer with Rajni sir. In September, you have Jawan with Shah Rukh. In October, will be Leo with Vijay.
Tell me about it.
Anirudh, do you get time to sit and savor like the success, the sort of accolades, or is it just a blur of blockbusters?
Ma'am, with respect to these three films, it's been a blur, ma'am. But the thing is, ma'am, you know how it always happens is we always plan not to do more than maybe 3-4 films in a year. That's how it's been for the past 10 years. But ever since COVID, what has happened is even if we plan only 3 or 4 films a year, they all just line up together. So even last year or this year, every release is very close to each other. But after these 3 releases, we will get a break of 4-5 months when we tour and stuff like that. So that's how we've been planning.
And then will you sit and say to yourself, well done, Anirudh, or you're not that guy?
Ma'am, you still haven't met the rest of the boys in the studio. We are far away from that, ma'am. The good part is we were all a part of a band in school and college. There were like 2-3 bands. One was like a rock band, you know, with long hair and stuff like that. That was in college. And from school, we used to be part of a fusion, classical fusion band. And we all used to play in weddings, and that's how we used to make our money. So so all these guys work together with me here still. So it's still that same camaraderie that we share. So there's no question of, and they're all a little away from the movies in the sense they're not too involved as to what is happening in the movie environment around us. So it's more of enjoying what we do, and yeah, I think they keep me grounded. So that's the hack that I have.
It's a good hack.
Yeah, it's a very good
hack. It's a good hack. Normally, at what stage do you get attached to a film? Is it while it's still being scripted or it's just an idea? Sure. Where do you connect?
I think initially, ma'am, I have a big problem that I've never listened to.
Scripts?
No, I do listen to scripts, but I never listen to 3-3.5 hour narration at all.
Can't do it.
It's not that I can't do it. I just got used to the fact that I don't. So maximum I would hear like 1 hour of the film.
Huh.
And you'll kind of get an idea as to what the director is looking for in that 1 hour. And basically we'll discuss what type of music you're going to do for the film. Not only the songs, but even the whole genre of the music of the film and stuff like that. So yeah, that's actually a very big mistake that I do, that I listen only to 1 hour. But it's kind of worked.
It's working for you.
Yeah, it's worked. So, you know, you just go with that superstition.
Right.
So even now when somebody comes to narrate a script, I'll be like, sir, can you please narrate to me in 1 hour? They'll be like, no, but I have a 4 hour content. I'll be like, no, can you like concise it?
Your magic number is 1 hour.
60 minutes is the cutoff. So that's how it starts, ma'am. And from there on, we kind of, here and then I'll ask the director to show me what they've shot, even if it's just a few scenes here and there, just to get a mood of what type of film it is, what type of maker the director is and stuff like that. And most probably it's the directors, once we start working together, ma'am, from the first song onwards, there is a kind of tempo and an energy which kind of vibes between us and the director, and that's how we start off.
Do you ever suggest like this might be a situation for the song? Do you
sure,
do
ma'am.
That?
Sure, ma'am.
Yeah.
When I hear that 1 hour, ma'am, when they tell me this, I'll be like, is it okay if we can have a song here? Or even if it's not a song, what if we treat this like a musical montage and stuff like that. So yeah, from the script process onwards, we're kind of involved in where the music should play and where it shouldn't, and stuff like that. Yes.
So tell me about the actual process. You know, is most of the inspiration, is most of the creativity right here in this space?
Not most of it, ma'am. 100% of it is in this
really?
Space. Yes, ma'am. I have a problem where I'm not... there are a lot of people who like to go outside, you know, to another maybe location, another country, and try to
create. Yeah.
Just for another environment. But from day one, I've gotten used to this one space. So whether it's a Tamil film or a Bollywood film or whatever it is, I need my space. And that too, when I'm composing, ma'am, or I'm singing, I don't like anybody around me. So that way, even here, people who work with me, they'll probably be where we are right now. And
you'll be inside
there
creating.
Yeah, I like that little loneliness, because I'll be a little crazy when I'm composing, ma'am. I'll be singing.
Like what?
Like I'll be singing a lot of gibberish lines. Whatever comes to my head, I'll just try to put it into the system. And actually the process, ma'am, as you asked, it's a very funny process, because the number of songs which I've actually made for a particular film would be 10 to 20% of our whole discography, ma'am. Because we got used to this whole band process from school. I just make songs, ma'am. I just love to make songs. Doesn't matter what genre it is, doesn't matter what mood it is. Whatever zone I am in at that point in time, whatever idea I'm having at that time, I just try to create a bank and leave it in my system. Then when I'm working on a film, ma'am, working on a film starting next month, I would try to see if the script that I heard, any of the songs what I made, or not even a song, even if it's just a melody line, or even if it's just an instrument, whether that would work for that film in some way. So I create music without any boundaries of, you know, a script or this has to be
a character.
Has to be a love song, or this has to be, no, nothing like that. I just make whatever comes to my head, and I try to then use that, at least elements of those, into what I'm working on right now.
And do you create every day?
Yes, ma'am. I'll create, yeah, every day I'll create, but every day is not a good day.
Sure.
So when I feel that, okay, this one has some potential, then I would put it in a separate folder. Suppose I know that it's not working, I would put it in a folder where, like, I have a folder called Don't Use. So I would put it in the Don't Use folder. But I have used some stuff from the Don't Use folder also.
Occasionally.
You know, when you have to deliver a song within a day and you don't know what to do, then you go to the Don't Use, and then you try and see in that Don't Use what element of a Don't Use song
can be used.
And that's nice. That's how I operate. It's a very weird process, but that's how I work.
So would you like, just say, you know, they say that if you're a writer, you need to write X number of words a day, right?
Yeah,
you just,
yeah,
that's the riyaz. You just sit in front of the computer and you just do. So is that how it is?
No, not at all, ma'am.
No. So you can't just sit there and say, oh, let a song come.
No, ma'am. I'll just, like, if I'm just sitting here right now, if I have an idea in my head, I would go and put it in my system immediately. So we never know as to when
the idea will come.
Yeah, but once a day or once in 2 days, something will crop up. I mean, it may be even as simple as you're coming here from home in the car, and I don't know, you're hearing some people, you're hearing a few car honks on the side. That also has happened once. Then, so you're hearing a car honk, like if there were 2-3 cars which were honking, and then that kind of made a pattern in your head. So that when you make a song using, like, you know, traffic sounds. So I come and just try to make something like that and just leave it. You never know in which movie that's going to be your views. Maybe there's 2-3 years down the line, or 5 years down the line, there's going to be some film where there's a song which happens on a road. Then you have an idea that you can make a song with traffic sounds, right? So it's very weird.
So, but Anirudh, tell me this, that if, so there's really not a lot of control on what inspires you.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Every day, yeah. something or the other, like these traffic sounds, would inspire you.
Sure.
Do you ever like worry about, what if nothing inspires me? What if I hit, I mean, again, I'm yeah. equating it with writing yeah. because that's what I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, is there an equivalent, like a writer's block?
That happens after every film.
Really?
After every film, especially if the film does really well and the songs do really well, the next 2 days, like even when the whole world is saying you've done a great job, the next 2 days will be a big lull for all of us in the studio. I don't know how
there's nothing coming.
Yeah. It's not about nothing coming, ma'am. Just the mood in your head, in my head, it's like till we submit the film, we'll have, like, we'll be in the peak of energy. The moment the film releases, whether it does great, whatever it is, for the next 2 days, we'll have a lull here. And I've noticed that for the past 10 years now. I don't know why that is, but for those 2 days, you'll be like, I think psychologically, we get scared as to what we're going to do next, mm-hmm. how we're going to deliver next. So it takes 2 days to 3 days for us to get out of that. But then on the third day, when we crack an idea, of a brand new tune or a brand new song that we're happy about, that goes away. So this has been the practice for the past 10 years now.
So Sanjay Bhansali told me that Man. He was in the shower.
Right.
And Lal Ishq, which I think is just a magnificent song, just came to him.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
I was like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. How are you bathing and this great song just pops into your mind?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that ever happen to you?
I think most of the composers, ma'am, that's how most of the songs are even made. I don't... For me, if you open my voice memos on my phone, there would be like 1,500 voice notes, just random things, random like beats what you make on your with your mouth, random just melody lines. You never know when what is going to be of use to you, ma'am. So, those kind of ideas just keep coming in, ma'am. And I think once you get into the whole process of making music as a music composer for films, you're not restricted to a genre, right? Right. So I think we're kind of blessed, ma'am, because if you're an artist abroad, you're either a hip hop artist or you're a rock artist. But with Indian music, you have to know to make a little bit of everything, ma'am.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So. And I think that's in our culture, so it's kind of embedded in us. And yeah, ma'am, those ideas just keep coming, ma'am. And it just, you never know from where it's going to come. Like 100%, I would have made a lot of songs when I was
in the shower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of songs.
I wish my bathing could result in such amazing.
No, ma'am, for you it would be writing, ma'am. For you it would be writing. For us,
nothing is brilliant as what you guys do. Okay. Tell me this. So now you've got all these incredible, you know, heroes that you're creating music for.
Right.
You've got these incredible directors who you're working with, and you've got this bank.
Yes.
How are you deciding which song to give who, and is there more love in your heart for one director?
No, ma'am. I think...
Bilkul bhi nahi.
No, not at all.
You're not being diplomatic.
Not at all, ma'am. 100% not at all, because from day one, ma'am, our whole goal was, however big the movie is, if it's a 500 crore film or a 5 crore film or a 1 crore film, our effort should be the same as a mantra which we've been trying to keep up to from day one. If you see, ma'am, a lot of songs here in Tamil which are popular of ours would be from way smaller films. We've been keeping that in mind from day one. I think I lucked out that way because our first film, 3, ma'am, the songs went through the roof. But the film didn't do well.
Yeah.
So that was a big shock for us at that moment. And I was still in college then, just about finishing undergraduation. So, you know, when you're on, that was like a blur for us when the Scolaveri happened. We were going all over the place. Suddenly when the movie released, there was so much of hype everywhere. But when the film tanked, it was a big shock for us. And we wanted to, you know, be very careful about what we do next. So the next film we did was actually a very small film. But my aim in that was, even though it's a small film, our songs and background score should be an identity for this film to do well. So we kind of embedded that in our system, and till date we try to follow the fact that whether it's a small film or a big film, our effort should be more than what we did on the previous film.
Yeah. So you don't get starstruck?
No, not at all.
which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Tell me also about creating background music.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I think, like, let's say in a Jawan, the background music is so much a part of the construction of the superhero.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes,
ma'am. We, when your music is playing,
right,
we've already bought into
right
the heroism.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
How do you look at the actors? Because already so many of them are already massive stars, right? How do you create music that kind of, you know, services that
right
persona,
right,
but also services the story?
Yeah.
And how do you create these highs?
I think over here, especially being a South Indian, I think that kind of fanfare is kind of inbuilt in our system. Because I was born here, you know, growing up watching Rajini sir's films and stuff like that, that how we want to celebrate them on screen is kind of inbuilt in our system. So so that's why it's easier for us to score for a jailer or now for a Jawan.
Yeah.
Like I was in school, as I said, at the Jawan success meet, I would have watched Kal Ho Na Ho like 7-8 times in the theater here. I remember buying tickets. We got the, and then there was a 10 rupee ticket, you know, the first steel chair. So that's
the,
where
the stalls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in front.
Yeah, yeah.
So back in school, we all got tickets only there for the first day for show of Dawn here in Chennai. So, you know, you've enjoyed watching your childhood heroes like that. So it was pretty easy for us to score for Jawan or for Jailer or now for Leo or anything like that. So I think that's kind of instilled in us, you know, how to celebrate a hero. I think first you look at them as a fan and then as a musician, and you try to kind of bring a balance between both. That's how it works for the bigger films.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I was speaking to Atli and that's exactly what he said, that
okay,
you have to come to it
right
as a fan.
Right, man.
Because that's how then you build it
sure
up.
Sure, man.
Do you ever, like, let's say, okay, Jailer, Rajini sir, now
yes,
he's of course your uncle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So does that familial bond, and he's also called you his son, does that bond ever kind of, I don't know, get in the way of creation, or are you able to separate the personal and the professional?
I think we're able to separate it, ma'am, because with respect to Jailer, initially there was only one song in the film which was planned script wise, but then we watched the film here, the rough edit, and then we felt that there is scope for us to make another song, which was Hukum, which we could place in the flashback where he enters as a cop,
yeah,
and then he enters again in today's day. He enters and walks into the villain's den. Generally you would just go background music there, but we felt that we could make a song out of that because of that word Hukum. When we saw the rough edit, he says Hukum as a cop. We're like, okay, this word is pretty cool, why don't we make a song called this? And that's how it happened. And so when we placed that there, that worked. So we took that and placed it in the climax where all three of them, that is Shivraj Kumar sir, Mohanlal and Rajini sir, come in. And it just fell in place. So we kind of separate the professional and personal feel. I mean, it's just that I think there is extra love, obviously, but from day one, we've tried to keep that very, we've tried to separate that with respect. As I said, even for a bigger film, smaller film, which hero, whether the hero is my friend, not a friend, relative, not a relative, it doesn't matter. I think we have to do our job right. That's the bottom line.
Do you, how closely are you involved with the edit? Let's say
yes,
something like Jawan, right? Where so much of it is made
yeah
by Ruben as well,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
His contribution is immense
yeah
because you're cutting so quickly.
Right.
And then your music
right
is working with that edit. So
yeah,
do you and Ruben sit together and kind of, you know,
no,
create?
Yes, ma'am. Not only Ruben, for a lot of, like most of our, 99% of our films, ma'am. When we see, because actually apart from the director and the team, me and my team are the first audience for the film, apart from the people who have been engrossed in it every day shooting.
Yeah.
You know, there is a chance that you may lose perspective after a point because you're shooting every day, you're editing every day, you're into that. But us, we just made the songs and we're waiting to see the footage. So we're the first audience of the film. So whatever we feel, ma'am, I never hold back in telling the director.
You're blunt.
Yeah, very, ma'am. but I think the directors that I work with kind of appreciate that and enjoy that. In fact, sometimes when I suppose I tell them 4 or 5 things that I feel are not working for me, most of my directors will come back to me and say, now watch again and tell me 4 more points or 4. So I think they kind of appreciate that as well, because at the end of the day, if the film wins, ma'am, everybody wins.
Sure.
And even for the music, ma'am, if you look at it historically, a song or an album may do great, but when a film does well, that multiplies, ma'am.
Absolutely.
And it stays for longer. Yeah. So we try to work for the film in the sense, even before the film releases, I feel like personally, I have this thing within me that I have been employed by the producer to bring a certain audience to the film. I have to make songs or an album which works, and a person who wouldn't generally go to this film should come to this film because of the music is what I've instilled in myself, ma'am. So that is an extra pressure for me. I shouldn't be taking that, but I feel that because I'm taking that, I'm able to do a little better, ma'am. I want to bring, suppose, say for example, ma'am, a small film, for example, if it gets a 2 or 3 crore opening, generally, I feel it's my duty as a music director to make that film open bigger than that. So I kind of, that's been instilled in me, ma'am. And with respect to what you asked with the edit, we are very blunt, ma'am, in the sense, whatever I feel, I tell them, I feel this works. I may be wrong. Then we have a discussion with the director. He'll tell me his point, saying this is why I have it this way, or this is why I've made it this way. Then I'm like, okay, then I get it. Mm. So because you can't be right all the time.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah.
So, but most of the time we there's a very clean discussion between me and the director as soon as I watch the first edit. Not for anything else, ma'am, because I'm the first person who's not there every day at shoot, and I'm the first person from outside who's watching the film.
Yeah.
So only because of that.
And have you had directors say to you, Anirudh, sambhal lo ab, because nothing else can be done, save it with your music?
No.
I'm sure you have. Because I know that you can see that here, there are places where the music's saving it.
I'm 100%, ma'am, because there will be areas in a film, it's obviously
where
two,
it sags, yeah, right?
Where
it happens,
because
yeah.
You can't be it going in one plane, right? So there will be areas where you'll have to amp it up, you'll have, and there will be areas where you have to tone it down also.
Yeah.
Ma'am. Sometimes it may be a whole sequence may be too loud compared to the rest of the film. Mm-hmm. There you can't score loud, you have to like tone it down. And sometimes it may just be a high speed walk, but then you have to amp it up so much just to build the character. So, that kind of thing happened, ma'am. But that's our job, ma'am, and we enjoy doing it.
Yeah, of course. Tell me about the high speed, because so much of it, of this...
In Jawan,
in Jailer, in all these films, right?
In Jailer,
Lokesh's films as well.
High speed
is such an element of course, delivering pleasure.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, because it's so kick-ass to just see these heroes and the women as well, right?
Yeah.
So, how does that work? Are you looking at it and saying, okay, there's going to be like a musical punchline there? Hmm. Is that how it works?
100%, ma'am. Because the moment there's high speed, it's impossible to leave silence over there. Because no, ma'am. As a film,
you can't walk in high speed in silence. Yeah.
It's basic film grammar that you can't leave silence there. So. How much you're going to elevate, that is the question, depending on the scene. The thing with Jawan, ma'am, for us, what we faced is, there were a lot of emotions going on back to back. In the sense, there's a lot of, for example, if you take the train heist, Shah Rukh sir is being villainic. And then suddenly, within a few seconds, there's a story of a farmer happening somewhere else. So how we're going to musically connect those things is what was challenging for us in Jawan, because there's a lot of emotions which were happening back to back. It's not like the movie is in a certain mood and there's an elevation and then a drop. No. As I said, there'll be a crazy heist and immediately there'll be a father and son, you know, sentiment.
Yeah, very grim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our job in Jawan, or our the main challenge that we faced in Jawan, was how we're going to connect these things together musically so that it seems seamless for the audience, was what our job was in Jawan, ma'am, especially.
But it must be also very challenging because, okay, so there's three versions of Shah Rukh, right?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
the two, but then there's the third.
Yeah, yeah.
And each version gets some five entries.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, there's, each one gets like multiple hero entries.
Right, right.
So how did you figure out that in this we elevate this much, but the second one, then Vikram Rathore walks in again.
Yeah,
first
yeah.
we see him with the bandages.
Yeah.
Then pre-interval we see him again.
Yeah.
How do you know like the secret sauce of here's this much, here's this much? That's so tricky, right?
Yes, ma'am. With respect to Jawan, as I said, it's almost equal to working on 2-3 films for
yeah.
us. Yeah. Because of the number of characters, number of emotions and stuff like that. With respect to your question, ma'am, if you take a look at the character with the bandages initially.
Right, in
yeah,
the opening
initially,
sequence.
Yeah. There we went, our thought process was to go with the geography. That's happening in the past. That's a tribal area.
Somewhere on the border.
Yeah, somewhere on the border. That's a tribal area.
Yeah.
So let's create music over there for that tribal world, but with heroes. So we created like, you know, our whole inspiration was Wakanda and stuff like that for that kind of a zone. Now if we shift to the Azad character, he's more of a chill guy and stuff like that. So for him, we went for cooler music in the sense of today's day and age and, you know, what elevation we could do for him in today's day and age. Now, when you went to Vikram Rathore, his character, when we watched the film initially itself, the moment he is introduced, he wears his AirPods or his earphones. And we wanted his character to be listening to, you know, old school rock, that kind of a vibe was what was in the director's mind as well. So that's why the moment Vikram Rathore enters, if you see, his entry would be the same tribal chant, but with modern instruments, was his entry through the smoke.
Because he is the same guy.
He is the same guy.
Right.
So, but we can't use the instrumentation or the arrangement that we used for the tribal world.
Yeah.
So the same chant, but with today's, you know, modern arrangements was the idea for his entry. The moment he wears the headphones, he goes into a rock world. So he goes into, like I told you, what we used to play in college. That kind of a vibe was his thing. So when we watched the film, I think it was all musically planned by the director itself. If you look at it, for him to have the tribal world. So it all just fell in place organically.
Yeah. What's the difference between working with Atlee, working with Mukesh, working with Nelson?
Yes, ma'am. So with Atlee, he knows exactly what he wants. In the sense, as I said, he creates those worlds where it's kind of obvious as to what you're supposed to do. And he's very particular about certain things in the sense he has an idea that he wants an older voice for a certain, and he wants a female voice for this thing. He's kind of particular.
He's specific.
Yeah, he's specific like that. But then after being specific like that, it's your choice as to what to do. With respect to Lokesh, till date he's never asked me a single question or sat in a single music session with me.
What? What do you mean?
I think that's because his first film, he had no songs in the sense, I don't think he writes for songs or, okay, this is a song in the film. I don't think that's there in his writing till date. He kind of tries to fit them in as background score. And he writes listening to OSTs of English music. Lokesh. He writes listening to OSTs of English. So till date, there hasn't been a single tune which I've sent him, which he has said, let's try another one.
He just says yes.
He just says, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. And the background score for example, if you take a Vikram, I finished the first half, that is the first four reels. I called him to watch it, the basic scratch, just to show him the idea of what I'm trying to do. He was the first reel and he said, okay, enough, I'm leaving. Then we saw the film finally to check the film at the final mix, that's about it. So he, so his point is, I actually asked him this after master. I said, see, as a director, as a captain of the ship, basically you have to at least come and see if the mood is right, right? I can't be right all the time. He's like, I know your name is involved, so you want to save that. So he will give you your best, I know you.
So he's just outsourced it to you.
Yeah, he trusts blindly and he leaves. With Atli also, he trusts blindly, but he'll tell you what he wants. That's the difference between
right.
He'll tell you like, okay, this is my world, this is the kind of music. We'll have a discussion before scoring with Atli as to what we're going to do. But with Lokesh, there's no discussion. Same with Nelson also.
No discussion.
No discussion.
so wait, like, let's say in Patala in Vikram, right?
Yeah.
So you would say that I think there should be a song there?
No. In the script,
he says there'll be a song.
But that wasn't where the song was. When he told me the story, that was not where the song was. He said somewhere in the second half, there will be a situation where the hero can have a dance number, like a dance number for the audience to enjoy. Then I made the song, he shot it. Then he realized that it wasn't going well with the flow of the film. So he's changed the edit pattern and placed the song right at the start. And the whole song won't play.
Yeah.
It's only a minute and a half which will play. So immediately after that, he goes into the story and then the mood of the film is perfect. So when he watched the first draft, it wasn't sitting properly over there. So he took it and kept it here. And then the whole thing fell in place.
And you know, so few people have the debut that you did
with
Kolaveri,
yes,
right? Ma'am. It's almost like the musical equivalent of the Hrithik Roshan debut.
Right?
It's like once in decades,
sure,
do you have somebody who breaks out
sure.
in that way? And you were so young. I remember we were all singing the song. We didn't even know what it meant,
yeah.
You know, none of us knew what you were saying,
what
Dhanush was singing,
and
we just kept listening and singing it. How did you at that time sort of not get swayed? Also because you were so young. Or did you have a point where you were like a little bit walking on air?
Ma'am, not, as I said, ma'am, it was all a blur once the song released. It was like an overnight thing, right? As you said.
Yeah. It was viral before we knew what viral means.
Exactly, ma'am.
Yeah.
And the funny part of the story is that it wasn't even meant to release on YouTube. Why they released it on YouTube, probably that was the first song which everybody said was viral on YouTube or whatever. Why we had to release it on YouTube is because we didn't have time to make CDs. Sony, which was the record label, rough version, a shooting version of the song, leaked from one of the studios in Chennai.
Yeah.
So, which we didn't want to go out because there was no live instruments. It was all rough. It was like just a, you know, bedroom recording. So, we had the final version ready. We wanted to release it the next day or within a couple of days. But then at that time, when CDs were still around back in 2011-12, it would take a week for CDs to get printed and get distributed everywhere. So, Sony was like, okay, for now, anyway, this has happened. So, let's just release it online on YouTube and see and figure it out. So, actually, we were quite sad because as a composer then, you wanted your first movie, first song to come out in a CD. You want to give it to your friends. You want to give it to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you're like,
hold it.
Yeah, hold it. You know, feel it and stuff like that. So for me, at that time, I think I was 19 or something. I was like, oh my God, my first song and it's already leaked. A bad version is leaked. Now this song is coming out on something called YouTube. You don't even have a CD to give my family and my friends. But then, yeah, I think it was all just written that day, ma'am.
Yeah.
The first day, I remember it had 3 lakh views, ma'am. So, yeah, 3 lakh views or something, which was very good for them. We're like, wow, 3 lakh people are listening to it. Now, if you have 3 lakh views on your first day, your song is a flop.
But it's got now, what, some 500 million?
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Think.
So, then from the next day onwards, it went to, I think, 3 million or something. And then people start sharing. I think Amitabh sir shared it after a few days.
He tweeted about it.
Yeah, yeah, he tweeted about it, and that's when it actually went crazy and stuff like that, ma'am. So,
but you never.
No, ma'am. It was a blur. Ever. It was a blur, ma'am. It was a total blur. Huh. And I think, ma'am, the whole fact that the film didn't do well.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Was a dampener.
Yeah. More than a dampener, I think that's what kind of set the mood right for us, ma'am, because. Mm. Otherwise, it would have been, okay, the album has gone crazy, now the film has gone crazy. There would have been a chance that we could have had our heads in the air.
Yeah.
But I think the film not doing too well was a big, you know, it was like a reality check for us. And after that, it took me a year to do my next film. I was very particular, like, ma'am, at that time, especially after Kolaveri, they were like, I had too many crazy offers to do Hindi films, everything. But it took me a year to decide that I want to do a small Tamil film and prove that we are not a one-hit wonder. Because that was the whole game, ma'am. It was very easy, ma'am, to after Kolaveri for people to say if the next one wasn't right.
Correct.
You would be termed as a one-hit wonder. Yeah. So I think that kind of grounded us. And from then on, we've had this thing that we have to deliver better to every film that we work on, ma'am. And it's been just about more than a decade now.
Yeah, yeah.
Touch wood, the going has been good. Hopefully,
so
it stays for a while.
How do you, is it the script?
Yes, ma'am. It's very much the script and how much musically we can
do with it.
Yeah, you can do with it. For example, there may be a film without a song as well. For example, if you take Vikram, ma'am, there's only one song and I do half a song in the film. But if you listen to the story and the whole screenplay, finally the Vikram album now has more than 30 tracks and more than 10 of it has lyrics. Because when you listen to the script, you know that, and Lokesh's writing has that where you have a lot of scope to make background songs like an OST, like an English film. So so that way, that's how it works, ma'am. And we try to kind of balance it out, ma'am. For example, now, for example, last year, if we are having mass films like Vikram, in between a Tiruchitrambalam will come
which
in.
Which I loved. So wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. Because it'll get little, even for us.
Yeah.
You don't want
to. Too much.
Yeah. No, you don't want to keep doing.
The same.
Yeah. You don't want to keep doing the same, you know, like a mass film. And so in between, we'll try to fill it with a Tiruchitrambalam or a love story or like a Kathu Akla, KRK or stuff like that, where, you know, we enjoy making our melodies. And then we go back to bigger films, the 100 crore films. And then, but we try to kind of balance that. So that's how I try to choose the film. Like if, two of these, one of these, so that your mind is sane.
And you are fond of English with your music.
Yes,
ma'am. The lyrics are so often
yes, ma'am.
A mix. Where does that come from?
I think that comes from the roots of the band in school, ma'am. Because we were singing in
singing
and playing in English.
Mm.
So I think that comes from there. And I think, ma'am, we lucked out, especially our generation has lucked out where there's no language barrier for music. Now, obviously, films have all become pan-Indian and stuff like that. But from Kolaveri, if you see, there's been no language barrier, ma'am, especially now with all these short video formats, your Instagram reels and your YouTube shorts. It really doesn't matter what language your song is in, ma'am. So, a song in Tamil can go all over the world. A song in Hindi can be very popular here. It's just a matter of a day. So, as long as the music is right, the language really doesn't matter. So, I think that's why, that's a big reason. I think it's like a golden age for us. It's a big reason why our music is going all over the world, you know. And people are recognizing it from all parts of the globe. It's because of the time that we're in and the social media, which is really helping us spread our music. If in the 90s or the 80s, if there was YouTube shorts and Instagram reels, then just imagine what would have happened to all those things, all those
amazing
those amazing songs.
Yeah,
so I think we've lucked out and we are in this golden period where, you know, it's the reach to a wider audience, to a global audience is so much easier. For example, we would never expect like a song from here, a guy from Peru or, you know, somebody dancing over there. Yeah. That too within a day or two of release.
I mean, look at what happened with NATO.
Yeah, exactly, ma'am. Exactly.
It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it just became a global phenomenon. That's
exactly.
It.
Ma'am. Yeah. So we've been, I think we're blessed to be in this golden period now, right now.
You know, you live and breathe music, and yet you've said that when I go home, I don't want to talk about music.
Yes.
Why?
No, ma'am. I think every day I wake up and I come here to the studio, ma'am. I'm here, say 10, 12 hours a day, minimum 12 hours a day. During release time, it may go up to 20 also. But here, when I'm not working also, as I said, our whole team here are very away from the movies. Like none of them, there's no discussion of, you know, what happened to this film or how much this did this film collect. I don't want to mention a name, but I'll tell you, ma'am, one of the ace directors in India, ma'am. So there are like 5-6 guys sitting here in, on this sofa. One of the topmost directors of India, first time he'd come to meet me a couple of years ago. So he'd come here, I said, welcome, sir, and all. I took him inside, we had a discussion, he narrated a script to me or whatever. And he left. Half an hour after that, slowly one guy is asking me, buddy, I've seen that guy somewhere. I'm not able to put a name to his face. I'm like, I don't want to mention the name, but I was like, yeah, so this is so and so.
That's how disconnected.
Yeah, that's how disconnected they are. And I love that, ma'am. I love the fact that they are like that, because then I feel there's no, we don't have a cinema vibe at all in our studio, ma'am. It's about the music. And it's about the movie that we're working on. That's about it. There's no discussion otherwise. The same when we go home. My mom and dad make sure I still stay with my folks. So my mom and dad make sure that they don't talk to me about work or maximum. They'll be like, after Jawan released, they'll be like, how did it do? How is it doing? I'm like, apparently it's doing really well. Oh, like, super, awesome, happy. That's about it. Finished.
Nothing more.
Nothing more. Let me talk about normal family stuff and stuff like that. So I try to keep that balance between my work and my personal life.
Well, you have to also explain the working hours.
Yeah.
Why is it that you genius composers of Chennai all work through the night? You know, that's what A.R. Rahman does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah, ma'am.
Explain.
Ma'am, I think for me, ma'am, like I haven't worked with anybody before. I haven't assisted any musician before.
You became an independent composer right off.
Yeah. And I learned in the process of making, like I didn't know how to operate the software to make music. For example, there's a software called Logic Pro which we work on. I didn't know how to operate the software. So once you start trying to do it, it was a trial and error that I learned. In my first film, I didn't know how to, you know, while scoring 3, I didn't know how background score is done, where you put a reel in and then how to change the tempo from one piece to another. All that we learned in the process. So for me, when I started composing music back in school, like we used to make our own compositions in our band to play at weddings, to play at small functions and stuff like that. It used to be after school, you have your, I used to play sport. So I used to come back home 7-8 o'clock, then you'll have your school work. So in my bedroom, my sister and I used to share a room. So in my bedroom, post 10 p.m. is when I used to start, you know, making music then, back then in school. So once I started doing that, I kind of got used to that whole, you know,
creating at night,
creating after the sun goes down. But now I've kind of just advanced my clock a little bit before. Now it's come to like a 4 p.m. start. But soon, I wish soon it becomes like a 12 noon or a 10 a.m. Start.
What time do you sleep normally?
I sleep just when the sun is going to come up. When I see that there's a little bit of light,
Like, time for bed.
Yeah. Time for bed is what's happening till day. But I'm trying now to kind of shift the clock, not because of anything, ma'am. I've entered my 30s now, so.
You want to be a responsible adult?
Yeah, 100%.
Who's awake during the day?
Yeah, awake during the day, and more so for, I think people keep scaring me for health reasons. You're gonna, after 40 is when you'll realize. So yeah. I think it's better to realize earlier and kind of correct it. So slowly we're trying to just advance our timings a little bit.
But you also, Anirudh, sing for other composers.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is so lovely.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you've sung for Yuvan, you've sung for AR.
Yeah.
What is that experience like?
Ma'am, I really enjoyed that, ma'am, because initially, as I said, I learnt piano, ma'am, classical piano, Western classical piano. But I'm not a singer at all. In fact, I was a very bad singer. In my first film, I said I won't sing. Even though you sing your scratches as a composer, I said I won't sing because it sounds really bad. Then in my second film is when my director, who's a debut director then, for one of the songs which he had shot with my voice, which we were supposed to change anyway, he said, no, I want to retain that. I said, no way in hell are we going to retain that. Let's change it. I was very, what shall I say? I was not confident of my voice. And I was very I don't know the exact.
Just doubting?
Yeah. I was just self-doubting the fact that my voice will never work as a singer because I'm not a singer at all. And I know that a professional singer can do better than me. Then when that song in the second film happened and it worked, then I started getting gaining confidence, man. Then when people started calling me to sing songs for them, I was like, oh, this is not what I do and I'm not trained for it. But they called me to sing songs. So that's when I started singing. But then once I started singing, ma'am, and for others, and when songs started getting popular, then like every day people started asking me to sing songs. Everybody around me, like big people from the industry, my family, everybody said, you're going to lose your exclusivity by singing for others. You have to sing only for yourself and stuff like that, which I thought was a very old school thought, and I wanted to break that. So I would just go and sing from AR sir to a new composer. I would just go and sing for everyone for free, ma'am. I don't want to charge any money for that because number one, that's not my profession. I'm doing that because I enjoy it. And I get to be in the world of another composer's head, ma'am.
How lovely.
Yeah. So I get to be in the studio with another composer. I love collaborating with others, ma'am. So I get to know, I kind of understand what their understanding is, how they approach a song. You know, it's a learning process, right? So that's why I started singing for everybody. Till date, I sing for whoever calls me, I just go and...
Really?
Yeah. Whoever calls me, I just...
And you don't take any money?
No, ma'am. Because that's my bread and butter is here, ma'am.
Yeah.
I feel like doing that if I'm singing a song for another composer, for a new composer, and that helps sell his audio in some way. Then that's a kind of goodwill which will in turn help the music which I make, man. So it's a very...
You're paying it forward.
Yeah, it's a very, I don't know, it's a mind thing. It's a psychological thing that I've kind of set with myself. So I have these 4 or 5 things in my head which we've actually set, ma'am, which is just going with that process, ma'am. That's a good...
Yes, when you have a year like this, which is, as we said at the beginning, a blur of blockbusters. I mean, what a happy problem to have, right? Does it ever, Anirudh, sort of, at any point, become a little scary, right? Do you ever sit and think, what if this is as good as it gets?
Ma'am, I'm scared after every film that releases, because I feel blank. As I said, those 2 days of lull which I go through, those two days are, the exact thoughts in my head then are, what the hell am I going to do next? Will it ever be as good as this?
Yeah.
I don't have a song which I've made which can outdo what this song has done. So those are the thoughts that run in my head for those 2 days. Then when we set the ball rolling and we start actually creating new stuff, man, there is a sense of, it feels like you've erased everything, you've unlearned whatever you've done, and then you've restarted. Sometimes, ma'am, when we restart also, after 2-3 days, you're not happy with what you're doing. It still takes, you know, 4 or 5 more days, depending on the level of hangover that project has left on you. So, maybe after a week, when there's that one idea which you crack, which you're excited about, is when the next thought process starts rolling, ma'am. And yes, ma'am, that scare is there after every film, ma'am. After every film is done, I'm really scared as to whether this is the peak and when can something outdo this? For example, when Vikram released, after Vikram, I'm like, oh, okay, there can't be anything bigger than this. Then within 6 months, then Jailer happened. And then within a month, now Jawan happened. So you know, so you start to believe that, okay, yes, you are unlearning, but at the same time, there is a bigger place to go to. And for you to go to that bigger place, you have to work harder.
Yeah. And you guys all stay sort of disconnected from also the pressures of those YouTube views. I mean, when you're...
Yeah, 100%.
When it's like 400 million, 500 million, I mean, that can play on your head.
Yeah, 100%.
Henna?
100%. Ma'am, you can, we can never plan that.
You can't.
Yeah, it's not like, okay, I want this Kavala song to go all over the world. You can never plan that. You make a song which you enjoy, your friends enjoy, the directors enjoyed it, the people who have shot for the song have enjoyed it. After that, it's up to the audience, right? I think at some point, you just have to, in the music you make, you just have, there has to be a certain relatability with the audience. In the sense, in our group, everybody is either younger than me or way younger than me.
So, you're the senior citizen?
I think there's one guy who's elder than me by a year. That's about it. So, there's a guy who's almost like 10 years younger than me as well. So, we try to see if he's liking it.
Yeah.
Also, the kind of music that we all listen to is different, right? Because a guy who's 10 years younger than me is obviously listening to something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to me. So, we try to, you know, update ourselves with time to time, which is very important with respect to music. So, as long as we have this group and we feed off each other's energies, I think we're good.
And do you imagine more work out of Bombay?
100%, ma'am. After Jawan, for sure.
Yeah.
But I just, so if, as I said in the beginning, ma'am, if it's 3 films a year, I think we'll have to now make it 2 here and 1 there, or, you know, we'll have to find a balance like that, ma'am. Yeah.
Nice. Well, cannot wait. Anirudh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming down. And I think it's been almost 4-5 years since I actually had a chit chat with anyone, ma'am. So
why don't you do more interviews?
No, ma'am. Actually, there are 3 things, ma'am. Huh. To be very honest, number one is, ma'am, I believe it's anyway the music that we do which should speak. Which
it's
was
the work.
Yeah, it's the work, obviously. And number two was, ma'am, it's a little serious story. Number two was, I'm talking about 7, 8, 9 years ago. There was a magazine which was doing like this weekly or something. And then I was talking to them on a weekly basis. And then the cover page carried a total misquote, which was very controversial. So I wasn't too, you know, then I was taken aback a little bit. The third time when I thought, okay, I should just let my music speak was that, this is also way back, maybe 5, 6 years ago, I'd gone for a funeral of a person. And the way the people behaved there, especially I'm not saying anything wrong about the media or anything like that, but the way, you know, the people behaved there, I was like, okay, this is a private space of everyone. Especially with the number of channels which have come and the amount of media, you know, so it's very easy for you to be misinterpreted or very, like a word of yours can be taken in a wrong way. So why even cause that little trauma for anyone? So that was the whole point. So I think this once in 4 years concept is working.
So I will return in 4 years. Thank you, Anirudh.
Thank you so much.
It was such a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming down, ma'am. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, ma'am. That's so funny.